Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday the 8th of April. I'm Pete Donaldson and I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moore. I, Lukey Moore, have to apologise to our very good friend. Well, all right, okay.
That's
okay. What would you like me to apologise to you about?
Right, I've got... Hang on.
All right, get your list out.
Get your little folder out.
Yeah. I would like to apologise to John Hudson, who we spoke about a couple of weeks ago.
John Hudson sent me a WhatsApp saying he was loving it.
He was like, well, so he heard us talk about the fencing. And he basically texted me saying, thanks for mentioning the old fencing. I think it's important that it's out there. And I texted back saying, John, whenever I see bad fencing, bad swordsmanship in films, I think of you, right?
Yeah.
And what I meant to say was, I think of you because it must really annoy you because you're a professional, right? But what came out was, every time I see somebody bad at fencing, I think of you because you're bad at fencing. You know when you're a bit tired and you write something and then you're like, about an hour later, you're like, I don't think that looked right. I don't think that sounded
that
right.
That must happen to you like every day though, right?
But even if I've said something right, I'm like, did that full stop, is it a microaggression, as they say?
Yeah.
It was that full stop a microaggression, so that I just worry about things constantly. It eats me alive, it really does. But
I loved it when John messaged me, because he said, thanks very much for the big shout out. It's huge for my brand, and when the Sirius helicopter takes off, we all fly together.
Like it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he's a good lad, John. You can't keep a good man down. He's coming over in June as well for the MLB.
Oh, are they doing like a MLB The Show here? Are they doing an extra?
Yeah, I think they do it at the London Stadium normally, don't they?
What? Is that not just too... the London Stadium? I guess it's quite wide. Would you not need like a wider purpose-built kind of baseball thing for it to... And nets as well. You need to put nets up, wouldn't you?
God, I didn't know you were such an expert.
Well, I'm just saying, it's wider, isn't it? It's like a big triangle. You'd have to sort of start in one corner and, God, the London Stadium, doesn't help itself, does it?
Ladies and gentlemen, before we open up the London Stadium for this Major League Baseball series of games, I'd like to welcome our project manager, director and expert, Pete Donaldson. Peter, any thoughts? Nets! Put loads of nets. Is it wide enough? We need nets.
we need loads of nets and it just needs to be a wider situation, yeah.
And just because you carry a baseball bat around Leon C doesn't make you a baseball expert.
I'm the
mate.
Casey Jones of Southend.
Casey Jones was hockey though, wasn't it?
He had loads of stuff. He had cricket bats, he had baseball bats, he had all kinds of stuff. He's sort of like a garbage wrestler, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm actually quite surprised that Casey Jones hasn't been given a WWE contract at some point.
Well, I imagine. I think the Turtles probably got involved with WCW. I remember RoboCop was best friends with Sting. I remember that.
I watched the recent Turtles animation movie on the plane back from the US.
Oh, right, okay. Is it 3D? Is it cell-based? How does it kind of fit together?
Have you seen...
Is it mixed live action?
No, it's called Mutant Mayhem. It's kind of like, have you seen Into the Spider-Verse?
Yes, okay. Oh, it's like that?
Kind of like that.
I would have loved that when I was a kid.
I think you'd love it now, mate.
Yeah, all right.
Do you think the guys who created the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles made a load of money?
Yes. God, good God, yes.
They must have done, right?
I can't remember their names now.
It's Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, apparently.
Peter Laird, yeah. Yeah, of course they did. They would have made an absolute killing. I mean, they were everywhere, on everything. They must have, like, generational money. They must have, like, money to, like, proper, like, private island money for that.
Yeah, this is crazy. Listen to this. I've got it here, right? The franchise, in terms of merchandise alone, the franchise generated merchandise sales of $175 million in 1988, $350 million in 1989, and $650 million in 1990. By 1994, it was the world's most merchandisable franchise, having generated a total revenue of $6 billion in merchandise sales alone. I think that answers my question.
Yeah, and that was merchandise. And then you had the films and you had the, you know, comics and... Good God.
Kevin Eastman at the time looked like such a comic book guy. He just looked like, the kind of, I don't know, he just like such a sleazy dude. Like, and he's obviously, he's still knocking about, still doing his thing, but I mean, he's never going to scale those heights again.
Follow
but anyway, the movie's pretty, I actually thought the movie was pretty good. And the caveat being that I would say that.
Who are the baddies?
I was on a plane.
Shredder?
I don't want to give it away.
What, you don't want to give away the plot of some Turtles movie that no one's got to watch?
Okay.
Who were the... Was you Turtles? We got to get you Turtles. Was anyone talking like that? And we'll know.
I'll get you on board by telling you the following things.
Yeah.
The voice actors in the movie contain is the following people. Hannibal Buress.
That's Michelangelo all day. No.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not. He's not. He's not.
Is he one of the Turtles?
No, no, he's not.
He's not one of the Turtles.
He plays the Genghis Frog.
Genghis Frog.
Oi, listen. Ice Cube does a voice. Paul Rudd does a voice. Jackie Chan is
Paul Rudd is Raphael. Paul Rudd is Michelangelo then. No?
No.
Who's playing Michelangelo
then? None of the Turtles are famous voices.
Oh, because that would be too expensive. Exactly. And just stunt castings, right? I
see. So Jackie Chan's Splinter, which is good. But listen,
that seems
Rocksteady,
weird.
Rocksteady.
I guess so. Yeah, because he was.
Rocksteady is voiced by John Cena.
And
Bebop
is
voiced by Seth Rogen.
Yeah, but they're not going to have thick New York accents like they had, though.
Can I also interest you, Pete? Something that will really tip you over the edge and make you really, really happy is that Mr. Beast also voices a character in there.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't
it? One for the kids, isn't it?
One for the kids, isn't it? Just let him have that for crying out loud.
Anyway, I enjoyed it.
I think Kung Fu Panda is back, and I think one of those lads who plays football is voicing one of the characters. You know, those the F5 tricksters or something. You know, those two Essex boys,
the F2 freestylers.
One of the F2 freestylers is voicing someone in Kung Fu Panda 5 or whatever.
It's four. It's number four.
And it gets me because it's like, are they still kicking a ball? Yes, they are. Because they had a falling out, didn't they? Quite famously, hilariously.
Did they?
I can't remember whose side I was on, but I watched a YouTube video about it. That's the thing about YouTube. It is like shit off a shovel, that knowledge. It hits you hard and then it just absolutely skanks off. It just like, I've no idea.
Oh, Mr. Beast is in that as well.
He's in that as well, is he?
And he's got the same surname as you. I didn't know he was called Jimmy Donaldson.
Yeah, Donaldson, yeah. Yeah.
God, it's annoying for you to have a much more successful online Donaldson than you.
There's so many more successful Donaldsons. Or Neil Donaldson, the Reading player.
Yeah. From back Stewie Donaldson.
Sue Donaldson, the head of a vigilante group in Hartlepool.
Anyway, Peter, I wanted to bring in a couple of emails on today's show because I feel like we always get to the end and we never have time for them. So I was going to bring a couple of in based around my working in a call centre story from a week
Lovely.
Or two ago. I mean, I never know whether to use people's full names on this. I'm just going to use the first name because I think these people are still working in the industry, so I don't want to cause them any trouble. But Neil's been in touch saying, hi, Luke and Pete, listening to Luke's Lloyd TSB woes unlocked a core memory for me. I was in a call centre for an office supplies depot in the early 2000s. And every 3 months, we had a review in which the team leader would randomly play three calls from that period of all the hundreds of calls she could randomly click on.
Yeah.
And you had to listen to the three with her and they'd give you a mark, right? Which never happened to me. I'm not sure if the technology properly existed in that call centre then. But anyway, so Neil says, number one was a customer complaint and I surprised myself with how well I handled it and my team leader gave me an A. Call two was an outgoing call, usually when you get back to a customer with an answer to a query, but not this one. I was calling my best mate Dave to arrange a night out and see if he'd get any weed. Rating D.
so he had to sort of make up these scenarios, or
no? He's obviously just using the phone to call this mate.
Right. Okay.
And it's registered as a call, and she's just chosen it as random to review it.
That's not even a D. That's like a.
I think D's the worst. It must be.
This is why is that ungraded? You're literally just ringing up a bit for a night out and some
weed.
Well,
Neil says, luckily, I used to get my team leader weed, so she didn't kick off at all.
Oh right. Okay. I see. Yeah.
But she told me not to use the phone again for personal reasons. Call 3 was an incoming one. Good. I thought as no mates had my direct line, it'll be fine. However. My then brand new girlfriend and now wife I have access to called me, and it went from you've left your wallet here to about when I'd see her next and then what I'd do to her sexually.
Yes, good stuff.
Team leader Slit deserved an A but gave me another D. Two D's meant had to retrain.
Had to retrain. What's the retraining? Sexually? Drug abuse?
I left 2 weeks later, he says. Oh. Yeah, cheers, guys. Neil.
More time for your hobbies, by the sounds of things.
That's kind of... So, we used to, like, transfer calls to our mates instead of other departments and do that kind of thing because we were just young and bored and didn't respect it and all that kind of stuff. But we didn't ever have, like, detail of that length. Like,
you never had a snoop. You never had someone sort of sitting down with a call. So, right, how could that have gone better?
Yeah, exactly.
How could... when you used to get... On radio, you used to get, like, snoops every couple of months. And what I would have done there...
Well, like a mystery shopper kind of thing.
Yeah, they'd basically take a short random and sort of go, right, let's listen to this one. And he'd be like, ah, fuck. That was my hungover show.
That's the Hobgoblin show.
That was the Hobgoblin show, and they'd sit down and you'd do it, and you'd fluff all your lines and mess it all up, and then they go, right. So how could we have done that better? It's like, well, don't do any of that.
That's crap, though. Were you making radio? I fucking hate that shit. Like, you're supposed to be a creative endeavor.
Well, yeah, but it is. But you still got to stick to the. It's still just market trader radio, isn't it? You're selling something. You're selling the music, or selling a product, or selling the other parts of the station. You know, there's no.
So you want to be getting the basic stuff right. So that's what when we do the ramble, and you want to be like getting the fucking basic stuff right. Yeah, I suppose I get that. I think for us, it was. You know, they used to. I don't know if they still do, but they used to call centers like. The modern workhouses, right? The workhouses of like the 21st century or whatever. Because the way they used to monitor us is they used to like just check how long you were sitting at your desk and they could check the number of calls you'd dealt with.
Piss off.
Yeah. So like you wouldn't even, you'd be like timed to the minute for like your lunch break. And if it was a particularly quiet period, right? They would give you other work to do, like admin work, while the phone, where your earpiece was in. So the earpiece thing, it used to be quite anxiety inducing because you didn't get a choice whether to answer the phone or not. It just used to go ding ding and then someone would be there.
That's so
it's quite
awful.
Invasive.
Yeah, massively. I don't know, man.
You couldn't even like decide how long it took you to answer it or whatever. But anyway, Chris has also been in touch saying, hi guys, given that I'm the self-nominated union rep for the Luke and Pete Show community and may or may not work for an organisation that Luke used to work for, I was dismayed to hear that Luke had to do 2 weeks unpaid training in response to a pretty minor incident involving transfer of customers. It got me wondering though whether Luke had ever partaken in the game that always used to be played on weekends when management was scarcely about. The aim of the game was simple. There was a word of the day. Let's say today's word is carrot. Yeah. Every call handler had to fit that word into as many calls as possible, and the one with the highest or most creative won that round of Saturday games. No prizes on offer, just the delight of telling Mrs. Harding that she'll receive her replacement credit carrot within 10 working days.
Carrot card.
Yeah. So we used to do little challenges to each other. I remember my mate challenged me to, because someone's card wasn't working, my mate challenged me to ask the customer if they'd ever been passed at a secret military facility which could have wiped the card. And the guy who ever had the line, he was already quite pissed off because he was in the shop and his card wasn't working. You can imagine he was raging. I always remember he screamed at me, how would I know if it's a military facility, if it's fucking secret?
Imagine being in the shop while he's doing all that.
Yeah. I also remember during that period, I worked there leading up to Christmas. And it was always a tense time because there was a ballot for who had to work like Christmas Eve and New Year's Day and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And this guy I used to work with, who will remain nameless, who's still a friend of mine, it was a very volatile, quite emotionally led fella. just by total coincidence, right? He got drawn out the ballot for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, right? And he was fuming, right? Absolutely fuming.
You can't be angry at fate. You can't be angry at chance, can you?
And I remember he was so angry, right, that he was in like in a little room off the side of the main office.
Right. Richie deserved that by being quite spiky.
I just remember there was three others in that little room with him. And I remember when I used to leave him a lift home.
Right.
And I remember going to get him at the end of the day, on that day, that fateful day that he had been given all the bad news. And he had spent the afternoon with dry white pens on the massive whiteboard,
yeah,
drawing a huge cartoon of a set of scales, a load of money on one side of the scales, and him dead on the other scale, saying like an homage, like Metallica's "Had Justice for All." And underneath, right, it was like, "Their money tips the scales again," kind of thing. He took it really badly. It had a cartoon of a devil in the background. Like it was pretty special.
Does that sound? Does that sound like he was on the edge of something, or was he just being a silly sausage? He's doing fine now.
I think it was it was kind of before the internet properly kicked off. So he probably couldn't find like-minded individuals to go and cause an atrocity. So he just drew something on the whiteboard. Okay. Simpler times.
Just express yourself on a whiteboard, for crying out loud.
Get it out your system.
That'll
be wiped down as soon as you leave. It won't be there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, okie dokie.
And enjoy your Christmas. let's have a break, Owen. When we come back, we'll do some more of this, shall we?
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show. My name is Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Lukey Moore for another half. I'm going to call it a tight tenner.
A tight 10.
For more Luke and Pete Shaw action. Oh, dear.
If you had to go and do like a tight 10-minute... Someone said to you, like, you have to go and do like a tight 10-minute stand-up show a week on Friday to a 200-seater comedy club.
Awful. Can you imagine?
How would you go about it?
I would feign death.
No, you have to do it.
No, don't.
I reckon you could do really well by being properly insane.
Yeah. I mean, begin, like, kind of...
Wet yourself.
Come in. I mean, is that insanity? That's just incontinence, isn't it, really?
Or is it?
There are very few things that you can sort of do on stage now. can't do anything these days. But it wouldn't be sort of people be like, oh dear.
But I think if you went up there dressed in the more outrageous of the garb you've got access to,
yeah,
like chiseled your little finger off and then wet yourself.
Yeah, I think chiseling the little finger would be. I mean, that would be a strong start, wouldn't it? People would give that 5 stars and
get a lot of press.
Uncompromising talent.
Uncompromising, specifically Pete to his own digit.
He's got He's probably got 10 more gigs left in him.
I'll tell you what would be an amazing topper to that. It's like people would be like, oh yeah, it's amazing the special effects on that. How he's able to do that, and then they come and see you the next week, and you just had 9 fingers.
I just had 1 finger and I'd had a busy week. I'd done the comedy store. Yeah.
That's what he does in...
And I had the chisel in my mouth.
That's what he does in the Banshees of Inisherin, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, he pops his fingers off, doesn't he?
Fucking...
When you're spoilering them, that's an old film. Fine. Yeah.
That's an old film. Oh, speaking of your spoilers, the old House of the Dragons back in a couple of weeks, isn't it?
Is that the second season of...
second season.
Did people watch the first one?
I did. I enjoyed it.
I did, and I enjoyed it.
I'm a nerd for it, though.
Is it as good as Game of Thrones? Is it worth flirting with?
Game of Thrones. The thing is with Game of Thrones is that it got panned the way it ended.
Mm.
And then when I was when my son was really young and I was just up all the time, I watched. Mm. I needed to watch something I couldn't really think about too much, and I rewatched Game of Thrones. And upon rewatch, I didn't think the ending was actually that bad. I didn't think it was good, but I think it was that bad.
No.
And so I think people were so hyped for it. And the same thing, I'm not saying it's as good as the ending to some of these shows, but the principle is that when people fall in love with a TV show, nothing's going to satisfy them.
No.
I remember people caning the Sopranos ending, and it's a brilliant fucking ending. It's a legendary
ending. It's a great
ending, yeah. Yeah, but at the time, people were fuming.
Well, it kick-started Journey back to the top of the charts.
An unintended consequence, I would say.
Yeah, I would say that, like, watching... Has he finished the book yet? Because didn't he sort of... He hadn't finished the book and he basically told the producers where it was going to go, roughly.
What, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, but
no, he's not. He's got two volumes still to come.
Right, and he's still... And is he cracking on with them? Is the publisher tapping their watch?
Well, I'll tell you what's ridiculous about it is that, so there's two more books to come. So the whole series is called A Song of Ice and Fire.
Right.
And the first book is called A Game of Thrones, which then the TV show took its name from.
Yeah.
And the most recent to come out is A Dance with Dragons, which came out in 2011. And I read it at the time.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, The Winds of Winter, which is the next one, is coming out soon or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's still not out. So we're talking 13 years later, it's still not out.
It's like Duke Nukem Forever.
Well, I'm forever waiting. The name there, right?
Exactly, going to be forever waiting. So he's still not done. So, but presumably because the ending on the TV version, the TV adaptation was roundly panned. Is he going to change this?
But
one?
But A Dance with Dragons ends, from my memory, probably around the 5th season of the show, and there's 8 seasons.
Mm.
So it's way outstripped it, and it's way simplified it as well, obviously, which you'd expect. It's an epic fantasy series, but people are fuming because he's done so much other stuff in between.
What do you mean, like Masked Singer and stuff? What do you mean?
No, he's basically gone and done stuff which perhaps fantasy nerds and fans who are particular about this kind of thing don't deem as important. So, for example, he's published 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 other works since he did A Dance with Dragons.
What kind of stuff? What's he been up to? What kind of stuff? Fantasy stuff?
He's done stuff like, he's gone and written like a history of the House Targaryen and a compilation of like different short stories and all that kind of thing. He's done some prequel stuff as well, I think. Mm. So people are fuming because he's like, it looks like he's just mucking about.
Get back on the treadmill. Get back on the grind.
That's a really interesting idea, isn't it? Because what happens at some point is that you make something, you create something so successful, it's like an unwritten rule where it just becomes the property of the public rather than you.
Yeah.
And like he's well within his rights, isn't he, in principle, to say, I'll do what I fucking want.
I'll do what I fucking want.
Yeah,
I'm
but
doing
people don't accept that. Like, he's a pariah for saying that or for doing that. And he's an older guy as well, so maybe he feels like he's not able to write as much, or he has to write slightly different things because the narratives are tough. He did say that he's got like stuff locked away that if he dies, that people can finish it on his behalf.
Okay.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that the quality of the TV show went downhill to an extent. I think it's been exaggerated how much it went downhill, but it did go downhill to
an extent.
Once
they didn't have their texts behind it.
Once Benioff and Weiss, who I think are they're both hacks, really, I think.
Mm.
Didn't have that to lean on as much, but speaking of that, speaking of anthologies and stuff, there's a new Alien film coming, isn't there?
Is there? I'm completely those things leave me quite cold. I thought
you were an Alien guy.
I was back in the day, but only because of the translated through line from the video game Darkseid through the H.R. Giger drawings. Which, if you look at it nowadays, you sort of go, God, I mean, that has the greasy, otherworldly aspects of like an artificial intelligence picture, like a Mid-Journey, sort of greasy, kind of grey, kind of like sweaty cells that are kind of growing, like kind of like weird futurist organism kind of stuff that an AI could create. So I think an AI could probably make H.R. Giger stuff quite easily.
Which is sad.
It is very sad.
But this new movie is called Alien Romulus, and it's set between Alien and Aliens.
Is Scott involved?
He is involved, but he's not directing. He's producing. I mean, he's old now, Ridley Scott, you've got to remember.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott, right? He's directed the film fairly recently, hasn't he? What did he do recently? Oh, he did Napoleon, didn't he?
There's
a new Gladiator film coming out.
The thing about films is that they do take a very, very long time.
He's 86 kind of like, years old.
Is he? Good God. Wow.
Yeah.
There's these kind of video game developers who are like similar kind of Ridley Scott kind of characters. Films nowadays, they take, 4 years. Four or 5 years to get off the ground and get done.
Yeah.
Video games these days, at that similar AAA, $100 million price kind of tag, they take like 10 years. Like these games are just... you're getting one title per generation of video game. And there's a lot of these kind of like... these celebrated directors of video games, head of studio guys, who are basically saying, I've probably got one more game in me and I'm 60. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's mad that these things take such a long time and we demand so much from our creators that they've probably only got five stellar AAA games in them in their entire lifetime.
And the gaming industry takes more money than Hollywood now, doesn't it?
It probably does, yeah. Probably spends a lot more on marketing. It's
certainly as big at least, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the delivery system's probably different as well. It's easier to get it into people's homes.
Yeah, definitely. This new... I mean, obviously the most recent movies in the Alien kind of franchise were Prometheus and then Covenant.
Right.
Which were both quite flawed, but also at the same time quite enjoyable to watch just because if you grew up in that kind of world...
Yeah,
I mean, it's a very impressionable age for me to be watching those Alien movies, and I really love them. So I kind of will forgive them a lot. But this one's set in a slightly different timeline. It looks a little bit more gritty. It looks a bit more, the teaser trailer makes it look a lot more back to basics.
Okay.
But it's not out till August, so it's one to get excited about, but not watch just yet. And just finally, while we're on this subject, you've seen Alex Garland's got a new movie coming out as well.
Now, remind me who Alex Garland is.
Ex Machina.
Okay, yeah.
He did Annihilation as well, which is brilliant. He also did, he wrote 28 Days Later and Sunshine, and he's got a new movie out called Civil War, which looks absolutely fan-fucking-tastic. And that's out in, I think, in maybe a week or two's time. So that'll be interesting. So there's a lot of good stuff to be excited about.
I've given up watching films after watching about half an hour of Roadhouse. With Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's done really well, though, hasn't it? You see how well it's done?
Has it done really well? I mean, I guess it will have done really well, because, I mean, it is for
broken
fucking...
a load of Prime Video records, I think.
Is that a thing? Is that a big thing? Because they never release the figures anyway, don't they?
Pete, they're claiming 50 million streams, like, across two weeks or something.
I could see that. But they put little adverts at the start, don't they, old Amazon Prime these days?
Yeah.
The thing about that film is that it seems that... Gyllenhaal, he's a bit of a talent. You know, he's certainly got the hot bod. And they've got the setting. It's proper, like, 80s cheese ball stuff, pastiche stuff. Yeah. Where, you know, it's all black and white and all of the baddies ride motorbikes and all that shit. It's real it's real sort of 80s kind of vibe to it. But, like, the thing about it is it wouldn't have taken much to improve the script a little bit. It just wouldn't have taken much to make it 100% better. That's the most disappointing thing. All that time and all, you know,
Who wrote it?
I don't know. It sounds like it's been written by Conor McGregor, who's in it. It's that kind of. It's that simple. He's been doing some funny interviews, hasn't he?
I don't want to cast aspersions, and I've got to be careful what I say. Obviously,
yep.
I think he might have a problem.
Yeah, if you've ever flirted with that sort of stuff, you can see the signs. I think that's
you can.
I think that's fair to say.
I think Gyllenhaal's brilliant. I'm a big fan of this generally. I don't really understand what the point of making this movie was.
Roadhouse!
I also think that I can see why Gyllenhaal agreed to it, though, because if you re-watch the original Roadhouse, which came out in the late 80s, it's actually really watchable, and Patrick Swayze is surprisingly charisma-free in it. Like Patrick Swayze, if you watch Patrick Swayze movies back now, it feels a bit like in the late 80s, everyone was having a fever dream because he just looks so unbankable. He's got no presence at all. So I can see why Gyllenhaal probably watched that back and thought, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. He's got like ravishing Rick Rude's body, very tall, very rangy, very like oily, old Swayze. But yeah, I never really got the whole. He was in Donnie Darko with Gyllenhaal, wasn't he? Swayze.
Swayze. Didn't he play like a
teacher or something?
Paedophile teacher, maybe?
Him
That's a
Noah,
brilliant fucking movie.
Noah Wyle from ER was in it. You never see you never see the cast of ER around anymore.
It's true actually. That was massive as well. When you watch Donnie Darko back, it's one of those movies. I mean, it's over 20 years old now.
Yeah.
And it's still brilliant.
Yeah. It was around this time of like Fight Club, wasn't it? It was like a mid budget kind of summer film. That just like what is this?
I feel like Darko might have been like a really low budget movie that just came from nowhere. That's what I felt like at the time, because it had that Mad World song in it, didn't it, as well?
Yeah, that'll cost you.
Anyway, it's an indie movie, which is it's still aged really, really well. Like,
it's a banger.
Great. On that note, Pete, we should get out of here. Take us out of here, brother.
Films we like. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this, where I will have returned from Philadelphia with stories about cheesesteaks and Airbnbs. I don't know what's going to happen. A lot of wrestling.
I like that you go away to cities, random cities. I know you're going for wrestling, but random cities, and you don't do any prep.
Did you crash a car
last time?
I may have scraped a car on Ariana Grande's house. I'm driving, because of certain obligations I have in work and home, I have to fly out later than Mark from WrestleMe.
Why don't you like flying with other people?
And I have to fly into a different city and then drive into Philadelphia, which is...
What city are you flying into?
New York FK. FK Airports. I'm going to be landing at 11 o'clock at night, really tired, and I'm going to pick up an electric car from a B-grade rental place, and I'm going to drive it down to Philadelphia.
From New York FK.
From New York FK, baby.
It's only a couple hour drive. It's not too bad.
It's not too bad. It's near too bad. I've done me doggies.
Good luck. Wish you very well. And we'll chat to you when you get back.
Look after yourselves. All right. Ta-ta.
Bye-bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.